It's Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio News. Hi, I'm George Prentice. Up next, we're going to be talking about something most of us turn to several times a day, if not more, Facebook. There's a new New York Times bestseller. I'll tell you the subtitle first. It's Waking Up to the Facebook Catastrophe. Now, the title, Zucked. The book is a stinging indictment of Mark Zuckerberg. The author of the book is Roger McNamee. He is supremely qualified to write it. He was an early investor and mentor to Mark Zuckerberg. He said a few things made him prouder than his early service to Mark Zuckerberg, but that was then. This book outlines what Mr. McNamee calls Facebook's culture that made a platform for bad actors. Indeed, the recently released Mueller report bears all of that. Roger McNamee will be a guest at the Sun Valley Wellness Festival and Conference later this month, and we're lucky that he can join us today from Northern California. Yes?
That's right.
Mr. McNamee, welcome.
It's a pleasure. I love Boise, and it's just great to be talking to all the listeners.
Can I assume that a lot of lawyers had a look at your book before it hit the bookshelves?
Well, to be clear, lawyers did look at the book, but, you know, it's not personal in any way. What I'm talking about is a business model and a culture that goes way beyond Facebook. So realistically, you know, I'm very complimentary to both Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg in the book because they were friends of mine and I have enormous respect for them. But the culture of business in the United States today is so focused on building shareholder value to the exclusion of everything else. And we operate really with almost no rules. And in that situation, smart people are going to take what they can get. Facebook was part of a culture that really was built around the notion of moving fast and breaking things. And since no one ever complained, they never stopped, then all of a sudden it became clear, at least to me in 2016, that the consequences of that policy were going to be incredibly destructive to democracy, to public health, to privacy, and frankly, to the whole economy with respect to innovation. And that's when I reached out to Mark and Sheryl in the hopes that I could convince my friends prior to the 2016 election that they had a responsibility to change the business model and to get Facebook to be the kind of positive force in society that it was in its early days.
Well, getting nearly 40% of the world's population to use Facebook is extraordinary. That said, you know better than anyone, it's fertile territory for power and influence from a company that is pretty much unaccountable.
That's the sad thing. And if you think about how the business model works, essentially, they need to get you onto the site, and they want to build habits. So they give everybody lots and lots of notifications and things to get you to come back. And for most of us, those habits eventually tip over into some level of behavioral addiction. I mean, I always ask people if they say, am I addicted or not? I say, well, when do you first check your phone in the morning? Is it before you pee or while you're peeing? Because for most people, that's the range. And once they build the habit, then they have to keep you on the site. And they do that by appealing to portions of the human psyche that are so hardwired we can't avoid them. And typically, for most people, the stuff that animates us most, that gets us to share most, are things that either make us afraid or make us outraged. And it's not because we like that stuff. It's just that it triggers the flight or fight element of our psychology. We just can't help it. And so the site winds up being filled. The algorithms wind up reinforcing the stuff that we engage with, which winds up being that kind of disinformation and hate speech, conspiracy theories that force people to react. And you can imagine that that's amazingly destructive, both in a democracy sense, but also for people's public health. And that's exactly what we've seen.
And to be clear, you say that Facebook remains a threat to democracy because democracy
indeed
depends on facts and values.
Exactly, because essentially by giving people what they want and reinforcing the things that they respond to, what winds up happening is everybody lives in their own bubble, their own Truman Show, if you will. And you can have your own facts, which is how we wind up in a situation as we do have today, where a third of the population denies the existence of climate change, which is a scientific fact. And another 5 or 6% believe there's a link between vaccines and autism, which there isn't. And another few percent believe in flat Earth. And these are not groups that have a lot of overlap. So the result is that roughly 40% of the American population identifies with at least one thing that is demonstrably false. And as a result, we can't really have a functioning democracy. And Facebook and Instagram and Google and YouTube, they didn't create polarization, but they have magnified it intensely. And the sad part is that they have been unwilling to accept responsibility for that and to adjust their products to minimize the damage.
We're talking with Roger McNamee. He's the author of the best-selling book, Zucked. He'll be the guest of the Sun Valley Wellness Festival and Conference later this month. Mr. McNamee, I'm going to assume that when the much-anticipated Mueller report came out and you saw a subsection specifically on Facebook, well, can I guess you were not surprised?
No, not even remotely surprised. And to be clear, I think that the Mueller report had opportunities, had they wished to go much more deeply into the category, because they really looked only at the portions of it related to the Russians. And there were, you know, the issues with Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube, and Twitter, aren't just about foreign interference. It's that there are essentially biases built into the products that allow inflammatory campaigns to have cheaper distribution than campaigns with a positive message. And that can be used by domestic players as well as foreign ones. And they didn't look at that impact at all. And it's really a topic that's worthy of looking at because there's a lot of uncertainty about what happened with all the data that the Russians hacked out of the Democratic National Committee. But in my book, I try really hard, and I think this is an important thing for the listeners to understand. I don't want to relitigate 2016. What I'm really worried about is 2020 and beyond. The fact that literally anyone can interfere in an election because Facebook and Instagram, Google, YouTube, and Twitter have done nothing fundamental to limit the damage going forward, which means we can expect China and Saudi Arabia and Iran and North Korea and Russia and anybody else who feels like it to interfere. And that scares me.
Mark Zuckerberg. What's the problem? Is he afraid of adapting? Is he afraid of losing value?
Well, I think at the beginning, Mark genuinely believed that his vision of connecting everyone in the world on one network was so important, it justified any action necessary to get there. And the stock market rewarded him for behaving that way for a really long time. And so it got deeply built in. And I can bet that when I went to Mark and Cheryl, their reaction was to assume that, that I was wrong, that critics had been wrong so often that they'd gotten conditioned to believe they would always be wrong. And so even though I'd been their mentor, even though I was coming to them as a friend, I think they looked at me and said, Roger, if you're so smart, where are your 2 billion monthly users? And, I think that now, under pressure, Mark is doing one really positive thing. He is engaging the political dialogue. And what he's doing is understandable. He's trying to concede as little as possible. But I do think they've made some horrible mistakes. The Nancy Pelosi video and the decision to leave that up.
And to be clear,
insane.
Their argument is that leaving that video up is what they see as free speech.
No, I understand that that's their argument. But they, at the same time, argue that they do not exercise editorial judgment inside their platform. And yet that's demonstrably false, that everybody's news feed is massaged by editorial choices made by Facebook. And at some point, they have to step forward and recognize that they have a responsibility to society and that there are some things that are so obviously wrong that they should take action. And, their position is that they are above the government, that they should be, free to do what they want and not be accountable. Now, by the way, Google takes precisely the same position. And, it manifests itself differently at Google, but it's no less threatening. And so my view of all of this is that it is time for governments around the world to take a stand and for users to recognize that the deal that we think we have with these companies, which is we give up a little bit of data for a great service. That's not really what's going on any longer. That the data we give up is not actually the data that matters. They acquire data from third parties, like our banks and our credit card records. They get our location from cellular carriers. They get data from every app online. They track us everywhere we go. They use products like Alexa and Google Assistant to track our voice and what we're buying and thinking about. And they can create this data voodoo doll of each and every one of us. And they use that to manipulate the choices in our lives. And we may not recognize how dangerous this has become, but it affects us all, because even if you don't use the products, the people who do use the products have an impact on your life.
Roger McNamee is the author of Zucked. He'll be the guest of the Sun Valley Wellness Festival and Conference that gets underway June 27th. Mr. McNamee, safe travels to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Up next, we look at this summer's highway projects. I'm George Prentice, and this is Idaho Matters.